This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Jeff Sandhu, together with
Frida Liu
and
Arvin Ibraj.
And of course, Arvin is joining us virtually. Today, we're taking a slightly different route in terms of our normal, regular Friday conversations because we are, in a way, celebrating World Refugee Day, which is actually happening tomorrow, but because we don't have Biz Bytes for tomorrow, we're doing it today. So we figured also by asking you, which social enterprises and charities have you been supporting lately? We will be featuring two social enterprises that have been doing tremendous work with the refugees here in Malaysia. So we'll speak to them about, you know, what exactly are they doing? And also, like, you know, how far, you know, do they think we have pushed the needle in the years that they have been working with refugees, you know, here in Malaysia, right? Even though there's still a lot more work to be done, just to see the progress that we've made. And also how you, you know, as an everyday Malaysian can help. And, you know, you may also actually benefit from this as well. So, right? And then later on, Frida, you'll be talking about how entrepreneurs can help save the world. And Arvin will be talking, you know, and this is our typical Friday story here. Arvin will be talking about how you can probably get a date with Keanu Reeves.
You see, that was supposed to be my story. I read put the money down.
Yeah. So anyways, you know, let's talk about, you know, social enterprises because, you know, Frida, I don't know if you, do you, this quote, does it sound familiar to you? Mm-hmm. Social enterprises can help Malaysia reach its sustainable development goals by the year 2030. Does that sound familiar to you?
Ish.
Yeah. So this is apparently, you know, something that you said.
Okay.
Yeah. In your, this is something that you said in your social enterprises, the Tool for Shared Prosperity session at the workshops of the World Communicate WOWCOM in 2019. So it's been a year. But you know, one social
wisdom.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I think there was an whole article that really just shared about, you know, your panel session or your session on that, right? But, you know, I think, you know, there's also a lot of aspects on how social enterprises can, you know, not just, I guess, you know, reach out to really empower the, you know, sustainable development goals, but also, you know, in terms of improving lives of, you know, various different people.
Beyond refugees, right? I mean, and again, every country has its own sort of social enterprises depending on the maturity. Like, for example, we also have GrubCycle here that looks into food waste because we're very good at wasting food. So, you know, there's refugees, there's the people in the B40, and it's about giving them an opportunity and not charity in that sense. So that's one thing I always like about social enterprises, right? You're giving them an opportunity to work, you're giving them an opportunity to change their own life and give them dignity, right? And that's important. There is a place for charity, but there is also what social enterprises can do.
So, you know, one social enterprise, Earth Hair, is banking on the manpower from refugees to produce and distribute PPE equipment during the MCO period when there was a huge shortage. So, you know, the company actually sells handcraft, heritage, fashion, accessories, and they've long worked with artisans who are refugees here in Malaysia. And, you know, they had to switch their production focus into essential needs by frontliners. So we've got Sasibai Kimis, the founder and the CEO of Earth Hair. Sasibai, talk to me a little bit about your journey and the work that you do with refugees.
Sure. So Earth Air works with artisans based in Malaysia, and we actually started working with refugee artisans more deeply about 2.5 years ago because we were approached by UNHCR, the UN Refugee Agency, to create a range of products that would help refugees earn an income because, as you know, refugees cannot work in Malaysia. So they wanted us to come up with like some products that the refugees could make that we could then help them, you know, we would market the products, we would sell it under the Earth Air brand. So we designed a whole range of jewelry, sourced all the materials, and came up with a working model. And we've been working on that with UNHCR for the last 2.5 years. The project is actually called Made 51, and the name is actually based on the 1951 Refugee Protocol, which Malaysia has not ratified. So during the MCO, you know, of course, we wanted to help, you know, we want to help both our Malaysian artisans and the refugee artisans that we work with. So we got in touch with all our Malaysian artisans. All of our Malaysian artisans were like, oh, no, we're fine. We have enough food. We're okay. And most of them, you know, even if they were like B40 or close to B40, they, you know, they can get some kind of help from the welfare department or they have social structures to help them. But with refugees, they don't have any family. They don't have, you know, they don't have support systems. So what happened then was, you know, we started giving medical aid and food aid. And then, you know, we started thinking like, but this is not really going to help them get through this period. Like, we have to think, what else can we do? And at that point, you know, we ourselves could not find masks for ourselves because all the pharmacies had sold out of masks. And we were approached by the World Fair Trade Organization, and they said, hey, Earth Air, can you make some sample face masks for us? So we started making face masks with some refugee tailors. And then as we started selling that on our website, we got approached by a group of friends who said, hey, you know, actually, frontliners in the hospitals are really, really struggling to get PPE for their protection. Can you guys sew this? So at that point, I mean, I remember very clearly, I think it was in about late March or this last week of March, we started scrambling, like looking for the non-woven material that we need to source. And we are so lucky we're in Malaysia because Malaysia actually has non-woven manufacturers, like they actually make the fabric. So we were able to source that fabric within Malaysia, even though all our borders were, I mean, our borders are closed. And we got samples of the gowns and the head covers and the boot covers from the hospitals, and we started sewing them. And we really had no idea where this was going and you know, if it would help us or it would help the refugees, because we had to take a huge risk and put our money down and buy like a lot of raw material. But we thought, you know what, this is worth taking the risk because our country needs this. You know, we'll figure out a way of how we're, you know, we'll survive. So thankfully, you know, we came up with a pricing methodology. We were very transparent with how our pricing was. And as a social enterprise, we had never raised donations before. So we were very concerned that, you know, when people donate, they would know exactly how their money is used. So that's why we gave the breakdown of how the money goes into the PPE making and how much the artisans earn, how much goes into our overhead, how much goes into transportation. So that kind of grew, and we ended up raising almost 200,000 ringgit. And we've now made more than 20,000 pieces of PPE. And during that period, we also got tax exemption. We were so excited when we saw the email from IRB, and they said, okay, Earth Air Part This is now, you know, all donations to you are tax exempted. So that was great news as well for all the donors who had donated. So, yeah, I mean, and I think we didn't expect the media coverage that came out of it as well, because as you know, there's been a lot of negativity about immigrants and refugees supposedly carrying COVID virus, and you know, and there've been Malaysians who have been rather unkind in their comments about refugees and immigrants. And I think the fact that the refugees that we worked with, they were a group of 21 Afghanis and six Myanmar Chin women, you know, who actually came at a time of need when we needed help to make PPE for our own frontliners. You know, so to me, this is changing the narrative about how we actually think about refugees. Most of the refugees that we work with None of them want free money, to be honest. All of them just say, please give me work so that I can earn my own keep. I can earn an income to take care of my family. You know, we've had refugees who refused money from us when we said, oh, you need medical help. Can we donate this much money for your family? No, it's okay. Please just give me work. So I think the perceptions that people have about refugees and thinking that they are here to just like be parasites or whatever and live off of our country is very untrue. And the refugee artisans that we work with are the most hardworking artisans that I have met in Malaysia because our Malaysian artisans are not in as much need as the refugees. So the refugees are very willing to work and very hungry for work, and all of them have been honest and trustworthy.
You know, Sasi, of course, a lot needs to be done, but how much do you think we have progressed in the last 2 years since you began in terms of bringing awareness to the plights of refugees? Have you seen progress, do you think?
I definitely think so. I think, you know, an organization that has really put refugees in the limelight is definitely Pitcher. Because I think, you know, because they make food, more people are aware of the plight of refugees through, I think, the marketing that Pitcher has been doing. And, of course, there are lots of people like, you know, Heidi and other activists who've been sort of talking about refugees. So I think, and there have been a lot of events, I would say in the last 2 years, definitely, that have raised a lot more awareness, you know, and such that in the previous government, they were actually thinking about, you know, there were some rumors, or I mean, I saw some media articles about how the government at that point was actually thinking about how can we give more rights to this people group, you know, can we let them go to school, can we let them work part-time, you know, so all of these were in discussion. And then, of course, now with the change of government, we don't know where those discussions are at the moment. So I think that kind of, you know, discussion even happening in the government and in parliament was a surprise, you know. So all of the work of all the activists and all the organizations working with refugees, I think, finally got somewhere. So I definitely think there's been a big change in the perception of refugees. But as you said, a lot more remains to be done.
Yeah, and we will be speaking to Kim Lim of Pitcher Eats after this. But Sasibai, do you think organizations could also help spur greater awareness when it comes to refugees?
So I think with working with refugees is, it can be sensitive for different corporates. I mean, at least that's what I found, because we had instances where we had products made by refugees and then we were actually told by some companies, please don't mention that it's made by refugees. You know, because even though they were willing to support the cause, they didn't want to be seen as supporting refugees in Malaysia. So I think it may still be sensitive. I don't know what perceptions might be now after COVID. But in terms of Malaysians, I mean, we've had lots and lots of Malaysians buying the products made by refugees. So I think that there are a lot of kind Malaysians. There are a lot of thoughtful and compassionate Malaysians who understand the plight of refugees. Because I think the incorrect perception is that they are economic migrants. So there may be economic migrants that, I mean, I haven't worked with any of them. All of the refugees that we are working with have UNHCR cards, which means that they are here in Malaysia to escape persecution in their home nations. So they didn't come here because they wanted to be wealthy or find more money. They came here because their lives were in danger where they were. So they had to flee their home country and come here to work. So all of the refugees that we work with have been interviewed and have UNHCR cards.
Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, you can check out Sasibai and her team, you know, what they're doing by checking out Earth Air on their social media pages, or just go, you know, do a quick Google search and, you know, you'll be able to see some of the products, you know, that they're on offering. So coming up, though, we will be speaking to Yuet Kim Lim, the co-founder and the CEO of Picha It. Stick around, BFM 89.9.
Bluff-free medium, BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Jeff Sandhu, together with
Frida Liu.
I'm Vinny Baraj.
And you know, today we're asking you which social enterprises or charities have you been supporting lately? If you have been supporting, like Earth Air, we spoke to Sasibai Kimis earlier on, you know, get in touch with us. Let us know. Twitter, Instagram at BFM Radio, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Now, just now, you know, when we were speaking to Sasibai, you know, she did mention that there is one, you know, I guess social enterprise that has really, you know, for her, in her perspective, has done, you know, leaps and bounds in terms of creating the awareness, and that was Picha Eats. Now, Picha Eats, they're a social enterprise that delivers food made from refugees, which, you know, to be honest with you, it's seriously amazing.
Good food.
You know, the range is from, like, you know, mantu, which is an Afghan take on spiced meat dumplings, to the well-known Arab dish such as falafel, hummus, and, you know, mandi rice. It's a venture by three individuals, Lee Sui Lin, Kim Lim, and Suzanne Ling. Picha Eats started out as actually Picha Project, which, you know, was named after a child of the first refugee family they partnered in 2016. And little did they know, now, you know, they're working with, you know, 25 chefs in Malaysia, you know, Malaysian refugees community in 14 different kitchens. Now, Kim Lim, the co-founder and the CEO of Picha Eats, is, you know, with us. Now, Kim, for those who haven't heard your story yet, perhaps, you know, you could share a little bit about, you know, what you do with the refugees here in Malaysia, and also, like, how did this all kind of, like, started for you and your long-term plans and goals?
If you're talking about, like, the long-term plan, we're actually a food business and we rebuild lives of refugees in Malaysia. So what we do is we our main business was catering and sending mini buffet deliveries. But if you're talking about, like, what happened during COVID-19, what we did is to activate funds to be able to let people to put in their money, and then we enable refugees to be cooking, and then we send those home prepared meals to the frontliners and people who need them in the marginalized community.
Yeah, so Kim, what inspired you to be on this journey, like, despite COVID-19, all this, you know, COVID-19 challenges now?
I mean, 7 years ago, myself and my two other co-founders, we were volunteering in a refugee learning center. And then we realized a lot of kids were dropping out of education, and then those are refugee kids. And we thought, how can they be deprived of their education when we get, like, you know, get to get into primary and secondary and tertiary education with full of support. And so we thought, if they can't get into education, we need to make sure that they get in. So the reason why they have to drop out was also because they had to find part-time jobs to sustain their families, because refugees are not allowed to work in Malaysia. So we thought if we could solve the root cause of the problem, then we can hopefully, you know, let more kids back into education. So we got them in because we saw their cooking skills and we thought we can utilize them. And so we started a food business where we can showcase culinary skills of the refugees from wherever they come from with their authentic recipe to Malaysians. I guess since then, like, refugees has been, the cause has been something that has been very close to our heart. Even Picha, the name, was actually derived from our first cook's youngest son. And we told ourselves that we named Picha after, we named the company after Picha because we want to, you know, help people and assist people like Picha and their family. And this company will always be for the refugees that we are assisting every single day.
Right. And I know that Picha is actually Peter. They just didn't pronounce it properly. Now, Kim, how far do you think you've pushed the needle in terms of everyday Malaysians understanding refugees better?
I think we've done, I mean, on how we do awareness in Picha is a lot of ways. One is we do a lot of talks, sharings in corporates and universities to raise awareness about what refugees are and change perspective and, you know, provide a solution. Because I think a lot of people
they want to help, but they don't know where to go or what platform to use. And so Picha has provide like a viable and sustainable solution where people can support and also understand refugees at the same time. And on our boxes, which we have distributed quite an amount, always has like a story of where the refugee come from and the people that is cooking behind. And so it really raises awareness about the struggle and the things that the difficulties that they face on a daily basis on the box itself. And it warms people's hearts because it comes with a fun fact as well. And I think we've also went international competitions to try and pitch to let people know more about the refugee plight. And because of those things, you know, we get like international support. So I guess we've raised awareness about what refugees are, especially in the city area. But I think we still need to do way more. Like, we need more people finding solutions. We need more people initiating movements or initiatives, and create more platforms where people can find ways to support so that they don't just, you know what is happening but don't know what to do next.
Mm. You know, I think, you know, Frida, you mentioned before where, you know, if you want to start a business, start a social enterprise. Mm-hmm. You know, why not, right?
If I want to, yeah, definitely, because, you know, at least, I don't believe, charities are very difficult. Mm. You're always looking for funds, but think of it as a way to earn money and help, you know, a cause at the same time. Mm. Yeah.
Now, Kim, how can we Malaysians help? What other areas can we do to help refugees? And also, you know, you started a new venture to empower, two new ventures, if I'm not mistaken, to empower refugees even further, you know, because of the COVID-19 pandemic.
Yeah, so if you're looking for people to support, we have people like Refuge for the Refugee, and you have people like MSRI or Carefugees. But what we're trying to do also, we started like another social enterprise called Illuminate. So what Illuminate does is to place quality teachers into refugee learning centers so that so that kids can get quality education on a daily basis. We also created like another enterprise which we're still working on. It's called Zucchini & Co. It's a content creating company, but we want to you know, see how we can use our skills to be able to empower refugees to get into the gig economy or you know, get into the designing or art industry if it's possible. So we're still, all these things are still ongoing or experimentative as well.
And again, you know, you can check out Picha Eats or Illuminate, which is, you know, it's Illuminate with the E at the front, or Zucchini and Co. if you're interested to lend a helping hand. And personally, I think the food from Picha Eats, they're amazing. Absolutely love every single dish that I've ordered before.
Right. And they've also started pre-packed meals,
yes,
right? Which
yeah.
is great. So I've ordered some, so there's always something in the house.
Right? All right. You know, of course, you know, we're asking you what, you know, social enterprises or charities have you been, you know, supporting lately? Are actually, you know, there are a few, you know, that you would want to, you know, highlight as well.
Yeah, so I was thinking about a few social enterprises locally. One of them is Epic Homes. I just want to, just shouting out some of the names. Epic Homes, they build houses for the Orang Asli community. They focus on Orang Asli community, but they also build for the marginalized community, the for the people who cannot afford to have new homes or need repairs for their homes. So Epic Homes is one of those social enterprises that is really, really good.
Yeah.
But then there are like a bunch of others. They're like H2Go, but these are like, they sort of... you know, they are more NGO, but also social enterprises. So H2Go, so they have a long history of providing clean drinking water to remote and rural communities. There are some like Yellow House KL, that's the first dedicated volunteer hostel. So they address social issues through social innovation. And then there are some like Safe Space. Safe Space actually is a space for purposeful conversations about meaningful interactions. They raise awareness for autoimmune disease. And there's also one like Elom Empowerment. So they aim to provide refugees with opportunities and means such as computer training, practical life skills, language classes, vocational training, and leadership programs. So just to give them, you know, a way to sort of transition into the community easily and not lose out on all those important things. I guess.
Yeah, and on Twitter, you know, Kianju says Meta Kitchen, Meta Pantry, and also Kachara Soup Kitchen. You know, so you know, those are really good. You know, again, all of these social enterprises worth shouting out, and you know, go and check them out over the weekend. You know, look up, you know, on Facebook or on Instagram, and then you know, you may actually be surprised to see some of the offerings that they have. And you may be tempted to actually, you know, help them by actually, you know, purchasing some of the items or even just donating.
You know, you're donating, you're helping a cause, you are supporting local companies.
Yeah.
So you're doing a lot of things by just you know, supporting social. Yeah. The best is you just shop.
Yeah. So, you know, we're asking you, with social enterprises or charities have you been supporting lately? Get in touch with us on Twitter or Instagram at BFM Radio or WhatsApp 018-789-8899. We'll be right back. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.